I'm Michael Lax. I'm the medical director of the Central New York Occupational Health Clinical Center in Syracuse, New York. And our clinic is one of eight clinics that are part of a state-funded network of occupational health clinics in New York. And we've been in operation since 1987. And most of what we do, we see people who have been injured or made ill on the job. We treat them, we diagnose them, we treat them, we try and prevent them, prevent that from happening. And along the way, I think it's become obvious to us, and I think obvious to probably everybody here. In fact, one of the speakers of one of the sessions yesterday said something about, like, when somebody gets ill on the job or injured on the job, the repercussions of that go way beyond just the injury or the illness. They impact many other aspects of life, some of them quite fundamental. So what we wanted to do with this study was to sort of take that general idea and to make it a little bit more specific and to sort of explore what are some of those impacts beyond just the strictly medical speaking. Initially, the study started out kind of narrow. We were going to look specifically at access to healthcare issues for injured workers. But along the way, we decided to we had a discussion with injured workers. We invited a bunch of our patients to a meeting, and as part of that meeting, or the main part of that meeting, was to present them with a draft questionnaire, and then to ask them for their opinions and input as to what other things might be included or how we might modify it. And it became a lot broader. So aside from looking at access to medical care issues, we also looked at some of the financial impacts of an occupational illness diagnosis. We looked at use and usefulness of some of the legal resources, use of an attorney, and we tried to get a sense, lastly, on some of the more general overall life impacts. Just quickly about how we did it. This was a survey of 50 of our patients. It was a telephone-based survey. We trained some of our staff members to do the actual survey. We got 50 volunteers. Everybody agreed to participate. Who we contacted. So getting right to the results then, just sort of some of the descriptive stuff, it was pretty evenly split between female and male, one more female than men. In terms of what occupations they came for, 70% blue-collar type jobs, manufacturing, production, repair, et cetera, and about a little less than a third white and so-called pink-collar jobs. Work status. The vast majority, 82%, were not working at the time we've done the survey. Some were working part-time and some were working full-time. These were some of the diagnoses that were made, and these diagnoses pretty much are pretty reflective of what we see overall at our clinic. And the diagnoses don't add up to the total number of patients because patients may have had more than one diagnosis, and also we also looked at the so we looked at diagnosis one and two, we called them. So about 27 respiratory-related diagnoses, a little less than half being asthma, and five rhinosinusitis, and the rest a scattering of other things. These are self-reported diagnoses, by the way. This is what we call and we ask the patient, what's your diagnosis? A little bit higher number, 34 musculoskeletal type diagnoses. Carpal tunnel being the highest number, but a scattering of others, arms, shoulder, back, upper neck. And then a variety of other diagnoses. The biggest one, multiple chemical sensitivities patients, eight of them, or eight people with that diagnosis. This shows you how many people were receiving workers' compensation benefits. You see the majority, vast majority of them were receiving comp. Some of them were not. Looking at then some of the other types of results. Health insurance. What happened to people's health insurance after they were diagnosed with an occupational illness? And as you can see from the slide, 84% had health insurance before the diagnosis was actually made. Almost two-thirds of them, of that 84%, lost it after they were diagnosed with an occupational disease. Some for 6 months, 75%, 60% for more than a year, and then they got on other programs like Medicare or some. Perhaps they had a partner who worked, and they got on their insurance things, or they got another job and got insurance that way. So, loss of health insurance, primarily due to loss of job, was the one of the major, one of the I think pretty significant impacts. A second area that we sort of looked at was not just access to the doctor, getting access to a physician, but what happened when they went to a doctor in terms of a diagnosis of occupational disease. Was it easy to get that diagnosis or not? And so I thought what was some of the interesting findings were 54%, more than half, thought that their doctor, for whatever reason, they had a feeling or they thought that their doctor thought that their problem was work-related, but didn't talk about it. So they would maybe even ask them, do you think my problem is work-related, and they would just sort of avoid it or wouldn't want to talk about the subject. Second, a third were actually told they had a work-related diagnosis, and that's a typo there, but workers' compensation was not billed. So in other words, 34% of them went to the doctor, told they had a work-related diagnosis. A lot of them thought the doctor was going ahead to file their compensation claim for them, but in fact billed private insurance instead. And last was they were actually told the diagnosis was not work-related, but they got physician records from the doctor, and in the records they thought there was some indication that the doctor actually felt the problem was in fact work-related. So 12% saying that. I'm going to skip that one and just go next to some of the get into some of the more financial issues. We looked at where did injured workers spend money out of pocket, or were they required to spend money out of pocket in order to get medical care? What you can see is that about a little over 40 or 41 out of the 50 people said they had out-of-pocket expenses. We made an attempt to quantify these, but that data was really pretty, I don't think the question was well formulated, so I don't think that data is really usable. But what we found was there were out-of-pocket expenses that occurred in a number of areas, but specifically in paying for medications and paying for transportation, because our clinic covers a 15-county area, and some of our patients are traveling pretty long distances. Those costs were ones that most patients said they had, that were out of pocket. And in terms of trying to quantify a bit the financial impacts, this tries to get at that. We asked them, you know, some places, did they have to do things in order to recoup or try and find other ways of making money, basically, after they lost the income or lost the job? And you can see the two biggest places that people had to go to get to replace their income was one, from their savings, and two, they went and got loans from friends or family members. And in terms of sort of rating their savings, some of them took funds from their pension plan, some of them took out a formal loan from a bank, really digging themselves potentially into a pretty big hole financially, and perhaps an impact on things later on, like a retirement or ability to send kids to college or, you know, take a vacation or pay for other kinds of things that they may need. Significantly, the last one over there on the right, of 12 of the patients, there's 11 or 12 of the patients actually declared bankruptcy as a result of the debt after the diagnosis. Also, this also has some financial implications in the sense that we looked at did they need to use work time after getting the diagnosis of an occupational disease. And you could see that of the people who had any work time, there were about 10 or 12 people of this group who said they did not have any of this kind of personal time or vacation time to take on their job. But of the ones who had it, you could see that a significant number of them had to use their vacation days, they used up their sick time, they used up personal days. Not too many used family medical leave time. And this talks a little bit about, we asked them a bit about some of the personal losses they felt they had sustained as a result of the diagnosis of a work-related condition. And again, the two things on the ends there kind of go together. More than 40 of them said they lost their job, and on the other side, the same number virtually said they lost all their workplace friends and support network. Some lost said they lost a house as a result. Others, only just a few, in terms of difficulties with spouse or partner, which kind of surprised me because when I when I talk with patients individually, it seems to be a lot higher percentage of people who describe difficulties with their partners that result from one of them having an occupational disease that impacts their ability to work. And last, we asked them just sort of a general question about the overall impact on their health, that the process of going through this whole, getting a diagnosis, filing for workers' compensation, perhaps losing a job, et cetera, actually had on them. And almost everyone said that it had an adverse impact on their physical and or mental health. Even the ones who didn't lose their jobs said that it caused one or both of those kinds of problems. And here are some examples of some comments specifically that people said. And what struck me was, this was kind of an open-ended question, and the similarities of the types of things that people would say, depression, stress, can't focus on work, nerves shot to hell, anxiety, depression, stress, etc. There were some very similar themes that was throughout the comments that were made. So what are the conclusions or implications that we can draw from a simple kind of survey look at this? Is that I think that the results show that a diagnosis of occupational disease, particularly if someone loses their job as a result of it, has a pretty profound impact on life and on some very fundamental aspects of life, not just on their health and on their job, but on their financial health and future financial well-being, on their social supports in terms of their friends that they lose as a result of that, and also just sort of on their self-identity, because work is so important a piece of that. I think that one of the things that became clear from the comments was that aspects of identity and self-worth were really very significantly affected by this. So in terms of our practice, what does that mean? How does this? How can this impact what we actually do at the Occupational Health Center in terms of trying to help our patients in different ways? I think part of what I think that came out of this for us was that I think that we need to anticipate and sort of recognize that these issues, particularly the psychological, emotional, and behavioral kinds of problems, identity, self-worth, et cetera, need to be addressed, I think, routinely as part of a diagnosis of occupational disease, sort of anticipated and sort of treated as part of the issue. And not just treated, but also I think we try and make an argument in workers' compensation that they should be recognized as part of the problem, and that if a person needs to seek other resources as treatment for that, that ought to be also a compensable sort of problem. And we've tried to do that. And I think that in addition to that, what we do when we do trainings with the doctors in the community, one of the things that we do is to try and help them to understand why it is that workers' compensation is such an important aspect of care for injured workers and why they actually need to participate in it despite it's being so painful for them to do so because it's so important. Just one more thing before I finish. And lastly is that this issue, the issues that are brought up in this study, I think, have ties to what I think we might consider superficially other issues, which really aren't really other, in the sense that when we talk about trying to address some of the things that this kind of study shows, some of these impacts, is that we need sort of change that goes beyond the individual and goes beyond convincing individual docs to do the right thing. But really we're talking about sort of some pretty fundamental issues that go way beyond, strictly speaking, occupational health, which are so intertwined with it, meaning national health insurance, meaning job availability and creation and retraining people for jobs, and for ending the whole the ability of corporations and employers to externalize these costs and to make the burden fall on the injured worker instead of falling on really where it should. Those are who the corporations and the businesses who are responsible for making people sick in the first place. Thanks.